All right. Well, so many things I want to share with you. It's hard for me to preach here, actually, because this is home. I have things I want to share with you, but it's hard for me to present them in a sermon. I just want to talk with you normally. But hopefully we'll have over the next several weeks more of a chance to be able to share all the things that are on our hearts and either answer any questions or perhaps be a blessing in some way. But I have to just say, just thank you. Thank you. It's an absolute privilege for us to be back here. I became a member of this church in the summer of 1997. We didn't actually move our membership until May 2008. So someone from the Air Force, if you can help me count how many that is, I don't know. My brother-in-law's in the Army. He deals with numbers. Maybe he could, you know, that's a lot of years. Of course, we're still connected to this church because it's our sending church. It's always a tremendous privilege for us to be back here. I'm not just saying words. We mean this from our heart. We want to be here. We purposely plan to be here during VBS so that we can get the blessing, so our kids can could participate in that. And we're just glad to be able to be here. So anyway, Revelation chapter 3. I am not speaking on missions. If I had been, my message would have gone exactly with the special we just heard. Luke chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks on the subject of the value of one. What a blessing that song is. And I think of just the value of one, my mind goes to Santina. Santina, I wish you knew Santina. Santina was in the video, just a picture of her, 81 years old, came to our first meeting. The most ardent Roman Catholic I'd ever met in my entire life. The woman prayed rosaries and Our Fathers for 5 and 6 hours a day before she came to our meeting. She came to our first evangelistic meeting because she was locked out of her home accidentally by her caretaker who had come to our meeting. Fortunately, our facility was only a block and a half from where she lived. So 80-year-old Santina, 81-year-old Santina, comes to our meeting that Friday night looking for her keys with her cane. So she's coming, and finally she just comes in, and she ends up sitting down there at the back chairs there that we had set up. Brother Dwight preached a gospel message, and she raised her hand. She wanted to know more. We dealt with her for about an hour after the service. Then she came back on her own. She walked to the service the next day. We dealt with her for about another hour. That was Saturday night. Sunday morning, she came back after church. Everyone was gone eating lunch. We stayed for about 2 hours dealing with her out of the Scriptures. And finally, Santina accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Just a few weeks after that, she came to us with a shopping bag full of rosaries and statues of Mary and statues of Jesus and pictures, all kinds of things. And she asked us to destroy them for her. We never told her to do that. But when we preached the gospel to her, she finally understood. She wanted to be saved. She wanted to be right with God, but was never told the truth. And finally, we were able to reach her with that, and she gave us those things. We replaced that with scriptures that she has placed on her wall. We gave her a large print Italian Bible, and now she spends several hours a day reading her Italian Bible. She has moved away from Grosseto, unfortunately, has been heavily opposed by her son and her family and her local priest in the town she now lives. And pray for Santina. You think of the value of one. We may not be able to save everyone. You think of 60 million people. Santina's just one. But that'll make all her salvation makes all the difference in the world to her. The value of one. Of course, there are many others that we can talk about. Juliana, who is an atheist, and others. I wish I could share missions with you. But I have a message this morning out of Revelation chapter 3 that I believe the Lord wanted me to speak here. And so let's look at Revelation chapter 3. The book of Revelation is extremely important to us as a church today. Many don't pay it enough attention because of its complex explanation of the tribulation period. But the truth is the book can be very simply divided into three parts. Chapter 1, verse 19 says, the Lord Jesus Christ to John, after the vision there that he has on the island of Patmos, the Lord gives him the outline for this book. He says, write the things which thou hast seen. and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So the book of Revelation really is, it has that simple outline. It deals with chapter 1, the things which he has seen. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. Secondly, the book of Revelation is seven letters to seven historical churches that existed in that time, who were facing situations in their churches, some sins, some persecution, different opportunities that were taking place, different obstacles. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had a specific message for those churches. By the way, those are the things that are. Those are the things that deal with our present age, the age in which we are now living, and that is the church age. And so chapter 2 and chapter 3 are crucial to our church practice and our church doctrine. And then you have the things which shall be hereafter. Of course, that starts chapter 4. We have the vision in heaven with the Lamb of God and who takes the scroll and opens up the seals of the book and the beginning of the tribulation period. And that deals with the future. And then, of course, the new heavens and the new earth, the return of Christ before that, of course. And so the book of Revelation has this very simple division. The vision on Patmos, the things that concern us during the church age in chapter 2 and chapter 3, and then, of course, future events that are very important for us to understand. Now, as I mentioned, the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. He is the prophet, priest, and king in the first three chapters there. And then in chapter 4 and 5, he is the Lamb of God glorified and worshipped in heaven. Of course, he is the just judge of all the world during the tribulation period, chapter 6 through 18. Chapter 19 and 20 is the King of Kings who returns to establish his millennial kingdom. And of course, he is the bridegroom in chapter 21 and chapter 22 there in the new heaven and new earth with us in the new Jerusalem and so on. And so Jesus Christ is the theme of the entire book of Revelation. Now, in chapter 2 and 3, as I mentioned, the Lord performs a careful evaluation of the condition of each one of these churches. Of course, we have to interpret these passages and these churches as historical churches that existed in the past. But the truths that we see there really are represented in all the churches over these past 2,000 years. We have seen periods of time in church history that correspond to some of the things that we see there. But very definitely, we must apply these personally and practically to our situation here, because the principles that we see in these two chapters apply to the needs of Christian individuals and New Testament Bible-believing churches of this age. So the things that the church in Sardis that we're going to look at this morning is something that we need as a church. Maranatha Baptist Church needs to hear, and we as individuals need to learn the lessons that are in these two chapters. What is absolutely essential to us for this lesson and this portion of this chapter this morning is this: that the church's primary problem was that their reputation exceeded their actual current spiritual condition. That is the problem with the church at Sardis. We're going to look at that a little closer in a minute. We need to apply that personally and think, is my reputation greater than what my actual spiritual condition is? Let me tell you, let me just confess to you. This church is the most startling church that I can read about in these two chapters and that I can consider when I think of our church ministry in Italy. What I fear the most is what is in these six verses right here. Does our reputation exceed what we really are and what the Lord truly knows about who we are? Question is this: are you concerned about what others think about you or what Christ knows about you? Now, first of all, we're going to see about 5 points this morning. And first of all, we can divide this first point up into two, but I combined it just to keep it simple. First of all, let's read these few verses, and then we'll look at the first point, which is the revelation and the Redeemer. It says in verse 1, "And under the church, and under the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, first of all, we need to understand, who is this message coming from? And so my first point, the revelation and the Redeemer. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ has some revelation for us. He has a message for us. First thing we need to stop and do is just stop and listen. God has a message for me. He has a message for you. He has a message for this church. Listen, that's very important. Because sometimes, you know, we get away or we get to thinking that maybe God has forgotten about us. And we're in this little corner of the world and maybe we believe the Bible. We know God is true. But I wonder if we're connected, if we're in this big plan of God. Hey, God did not forget about the church in Sardis, which is in the region area of Turkey today. He didn't forget about that church over almost 2,000 years ago. And he has not forgotten about Maranatha Baptist Church in Shelby, North Carolina. And he hasn't forgotten about you, no matter where you are and where you live. God has a message for you. He has revelation for you. The church, by the way, the message was written to the angel of the church, probably the pastor of the church, the messenger, the angel, is another way, angel is another way to translate the same word that's translated messenger. And so probably the pastor of the church here receives this message, but the message really is to the church. It's to us as a church. By the way, church is important. If I didn't believe church was important, I wouldn't be a church planter. There are many other things. Listen, I enjoy being a mechanic. I really do. I joined the Marine Corps to become an aircraft mechanic. I wanted to work on cars. I wanted to move to Charlotte to work on race cars before I ever had any idea that the Lord was going to call me into the ministry. There are plenty of things that I enjoy doing. But there's a reason why I'm a church planter. It's because I believe that God's plan for this age is church planting. And His ministry to the world is through the local church. So there's a message here for this church. By the way, I hope this church is yours, and I hope you're closely involved in the ministry in the local church. While we were here, our heart is here. By the way, this isn't our church because we went to Ambassador. This is my home church. I didn't have another church to go to when I graduated college. I came to this church because I came here from the military. I didn't grow up in a Baptist church, although I was saved. So this is my church. And I hope that everyone who comes here and becomes a member here will make it your church, because that is God's plan. So there's revelation in the Redeemer. I could say more about that, but it's very obvious that the Lord Jesus Christ planted a church. Okay, He started the church age. He said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right there you have a promise that God, Jesus Christ, was going to start the church. But you also understand, you can deduce there, that there's going to be plenty of opposition when it comes to this idea of church planting and being involved in local church ministry. Plenty of opposition. But we have the assurance that the devil cannot win the battle. He can't win the battle if we stay faithful to Him. Look at these seven churches, and some of them lost the battle and had their candlesticks removed. So the battle can be lost if we don't obey what the Lord has for the local churches. We need to keep that in mind. Let's go on to the second and third verses here. It says, the reputation, that thou hast a name that thou livest. So here, number two, is the reputation. This church was not only an actual local church, but this church had a reputation. It had a name. What does it mean that they had a name? They had a good reputation because it says there that it was a church that liveth. That was their name. It was, but it was all about the past. You see, their reputation exceeded their present spiritual condition. This church was a place that had been identified with the living Savior. It was a church that was known for its vitality. It was a church that was known for a place where you can be born again. It was a church that defended life and invested in eternal life. That's why their name was that they were alive, that they lived. But Jesus said, "But you are dead." He was preaching to a dead church that had a reputation for life. It did not represent their personal or their present spiritual condition. One of my greatest fears is that all that can be said about my faithfulness is that it is a matter of the past. Sure, we planted a church in Italy, but I can't go on the next 15 years saying, "Guess what? We planted a church in Italy." I want God to work through us today, this year, in our lives. A person, by the way, cannot be truly considered dead until a legal physician declares him to be so. And it doesn't matter what others think of you or of this church. It matters what Christ knows about the spiritual condition of this church. Many may have opinions, and some of them good and some of them will be bad, but few of them really matter. What matters is what Jesus Christ thinks about this church. A reputation is a funny thing. A reputation can keep you going for a while. Have you ever heard of Singer sewing machines? My parents are tailors, okay? So in our home and in my parents' shop, they always had Singer sewing machines. Why? Well, because Singer sewing machines were the best sewing machines on the market, at least among the best, for many decades. Go buy a Singer sewing machine today. The Singer company was sold to some foreign company. Now I believe they're made in China. And the Singer sewing machine is nothing but junk. I'm sorry. Nothing but junk. Why do they still sell Singer sewing machines? Because of the name. Because of the name. They're riding on their name because they have a reputation for being the best. But they're not the best. They're junk. That's the way a reputation can be. It can keep you going for a while until you come in contact with the reality of the product. And then you realize, you know what? This doesn't match up to its name. Reputation is a funny thing, Brother Stevens. At 20 years old, we're all worried about what people think about us. Isn't that true? You know, you get to be about my age, about 40, and you stop caring about what people think about you. You get to be about Brother Stevens' age, and you realize people weren't thinking about you at all over the years. See? Every day. Hey, a reputation is a funny thing. We can put a beautiful bouquet of flowers here, freshly cut flowers, put them in a nice vase with water right here on the front table. You know what they would do to this environment? They would make it smell pretty. It would make it look pretty. You would go up to it and smell it, and you would touch it, and it'd just be beautiful. If you make a close examination of those flowers and you look at their roots, they're dead. But they still let off a fragrant odor. They still can be pretty, and they could still be pleasant to see for a little while. Then you come back a few days later, the water's brown, they're wilted, okay? And there's absolutely no benefit to them. So for a little while, a dead church can let off a sweet fragrance. Eventually, it's going to dry up, and it's going to be seen. Same thing with a Christian who is not living filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They're going to eventually show what is inside of their heart. A church may not smell like death or look like death, but if it's not getting its life from the Holy Spirit, it's dead nonetheless. Jesus said that to Sardis. Okay, I would not have come up with that theology on my own, but it says it right here, that they have a name that thou livest and art dead. The application is this for this church. What is your name? Maranatha. What does Maranatha mean? The Lord is returning. The Lord is returning. That is your name. This church has been known, at least for the time that I was a member of it, for the fact that it was living for Christ's return. That's why this church has that name. It is sending missionaries around the world. It preaches the truth. It invests in the gospel into the community. We're seeking to save those who are lost. This is a church that preaches excellence and truth. That is our name, Maranatha. And my heart would break if the reputation would ever exceed the actual spiritual condition of this church. There's no way for me to make that evaluation. But God knows what is in the hearts of every individual that make up this church. And we see that here later on. He goes on and says, hey, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments. So it's not an institution he's talking about. He's talking about a unit of individuals. And the unit of individuals, of saved individuals, is who make up the church. And individually, we will determine whether this church is alive or if it's dead. Behold, I come quickly, says the Lord in verse 11 of this chapter. Literally, he is saying, I am already coming. That's the way those words need to be literally interpreted. In chapter 22, verse 7 says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The Lord is coming quickly. That's the name of this church. And I hope that we will always maintain that kind of spiritual vitality inside of us. Now, number three, let's look at something else. There was the reputation of this church. There was the revelation and the Redeemer, the first point. Now, here we have, number three, the rescue or the resurrection that is possible for this dead church in Sardis. It says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. This is how the church in Sardis was to be rescued. This is how your spiritual life can be rescued or resuscitated, for that matter. And this is the message for Maranatha Baptist Church today. We need to be careful that we don't become a dead church. But if that ever happens, there is a remedy. There is a rescue that can take place. And by the way, there are some things that we need to retain that are good. And there are things that we need to recover that have been lost. Those are the two things that the Lord talks about here. Now, under the things that need to be retained that are good, it says here, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. We need to be careful. It is possible for this church to lose its spiritual vitality. It is possible for this church to die. And we need to be watchful. That word watchful, I use the word here for this subpoint, reveille. Anybody know what reveille is? If you were in the Marine Corps, you know what reveille is. Reveille is a time you're supposed to wake up out of sleep in the morning. You have a barracks full of bunk beds or racks, we call them in the Marine Corps. And when they sound reveille, your feet better already be on the ground by the time that first note ever finishes coming out of the trumpet there or the cornet or whatever there, whatever that is. So reveille, wake up, be watchful. The word literally is the word Gregory. You ever heard the name Gregory? The Greek word there, be watchful, is the word Gregory, basically. Okay, so that means to be watchful, to be alert, to be attentive, to wake up. And so this is what this church needs to do. It needs to be alert. Like a guard that has fallen asleep on duty, you better wake up. If a drill instructor ever caught you sleeping on duty, you would rather die than deal with that drill instructor. And hey, we don't want to deal with what happens if the Lord has to visit us in judgment. He says, be watchful and wake up. By the way, let me say something. Let me just back up 1 second. About this rescue. You know, it's easier to diagnose a problem than it is to fix a problem. Now, diagnosing a problem is not always easy. We've learned that over the last 5 years. But what is encouraging is when you finally find a doctor that is able to diagnose the problem. In Sunday school, I mentioned the fact that we'd seen doctors in Italy. Finally, we go to the neurologist right here in Little Shelby, North Carolina, and the doctor looks at her and says, I know what your problem is, and I can fix it. By the way, what does that do? What does that do? What did that do to Jenny when he said that? It gave her hope. There's hope. There's hope in the fact that though we may have spiritual problems, we can be right with God today if we repent. And that's a blessing to my heart. And that's the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to this church in Sardis. So he says, reveille. He says, wake up. Be watchful. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Why is it so important to wake up and be watchful? Because the stakes are too high. Why would a drill instructor practically kill a sentry that had ever fallen asleep on duty? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because the stakes are too high. It's too high of a risk to take. The cost would be too devastating. So it's important that we wake up. And then he says here, strengthen the things which remain. We need to reaffirm. So in this thing that we are retaining, we need to wake up, and we need to retain the things that are about to die. The word reaffirm, the word strengthen here, literally, the Greek word there is the word steroid. Okay? So what Jesus says, hey, give some steroids to the part of your body that is weak, that is still good, but is weak, that it needs to be strengthened. What happens when you're weak? A doctor often will give you steroids so that you can heal and build muscle or build whatever, recover, like in your lungs. If you have a lung disease or some kind of bronchitis, you're going to be prescribed steroids so that your lungs can heal and be strengthened and could dissolve the mucus and so on. So what the Lord says here, he says, hey, we need to strengthen the things that are good. While we're retaining, let's be watchful, be alert, be aware of the fact that this is a danger. And then, hey, you might not have everything bad, so let's strengthen the things that are good and let's focus on them so that we don't lose that in the process. You know, Luke 22, verse 31 says, the Lord said to Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That word strengthen is the same word strengthen that we have here in this passage. So Jesus tells Peter, hey, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Now I want you to help your brethren help their faith not fail. Help them to be strengthened. So don't let your faith fail. That's what it literally means here. Don't let your faith fail. You are going through a tough time, but make firm in your mind the promises of God and depend upon Him for the strength to go about it. That's what it means to put steroids in your spiritual life. Don't let your faith become weaker. Don't lose your faith, but depend upon the Lord and His promises. Now, number one, we had retaining what is good. Let's look at what they had lost, and we need to recover. They needed to recover what they had lost. Verse 3 it says, be watchful, verse 2, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. There is something we need to recover. They had forgotten something. And part of their recovery process was going to be to remember some things. Or I put here, to reflect on how they had received. Maybe we just need to stop for a few minutes and reflect. How does the Lord want me to go forward in my Christian life? Well, How did you get to this point in your Christian life is what he says. Remember how thou hast received. One of the simplest verses that is clarified, simplified so much of the Christian walk to me in my mind is Colossians chapter 2 in verse 6. It says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Let's think about that for a second. How did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? By faith. How are you going to walk in Jesus Christ? By faith. You see, you were a lost sinner. You heard the Scriptures preached. You realized your need of a Savior. You realized Jesus Christ paid for your sin, was offering unto you forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and you by faith chose to depend upon Christ's work for your salvation. That's how you were saved. Well, how are you going to walk with Christ? God says that He gives you grace to live day by day, and you choose to depend upon the grace that God gives you to live your daily Christian life. That's how we receive. That's how we walk. That's so simple. Even I can understand that. Says, how did this church become Maranatha Baptist Church? Very simply, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. This church did not become Maranatha Baptist Church because of money. Well, we know that. This church didn't become Maranatha Baptist Church because of a man. This church didn't become Maranatha Baptist Church because of management. This church became Maranatha because of the grace of God. And if this church is going to continue to be Maranatha Baptist Church, it's going to need to be by the grace of God. Not a man. Not money. Not management. All of those things are things that apply to us for sure. But it's going to be the grace of God that's going to maintain or that's going to recover what we may have lost. We need to recover what we lost. Reflect on the things. Let's go on. We need to also repent. Hey, I didn't make that up. It goes right with my alliteration, but it's right here in the passage. I love it when it does that. It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Repentance. You know, it's not enough to understand that you have a problem. It's not enough to agree that you have a problem. You have to repent. You have to change that action. You have to change that thought process. You have to change what you're depending upon. You know, when we went to that doctor this week, Jenny went to that, it wasn't enough that he knew what her problem was. And it wasn't enough that she would agree. She had to decide to turn around and let that man put a needle about that long in the back of her skull and depend on what he was going to tell her. Certainly that was a fearful process she had to go through. But she had to not only trust what he was saying, but she had to accept his cure for her sickness or her pain. So, that's what we need to do. We may all need to do some remembering, some reflecting on how we received. But it's not going to be enough unless we repent. We acknowledge that before the Lord. And by the way, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If you come to Italy this year, you will find that from not too far from our house, we can go up on a hilltop and look out into the Mediterranean Sea, and just not too many miles away, you're going to see this huge object in the ocean, in the sea there, just at the base of a little island called Giglio, the island of Lily. That large object at the base of the island of Giglio is the Costa Concordia ship, okay, the cruise ship that is sunk and is half. It is half of the hull there is sitting above the water and the other half below the water. If you are the captain of that ship and you are about to hit the island of Giglio, you need to stop, slam it in the reverse, and give it all the gas that she's got. Okay? Well, Schettino did not do that. He did not do that, and he probably could not have by the time they realized what they were doing. And 35 people were killed as a result of that foolish mistake that the captain of that ship did in getting too close to the island there. And that ship is sunk. Not only the loss of the value of that ship, but the 35 precious souls who, unless they were saved, are probably in hell today. Why? Because he was not able to repent. He wasn't able to change course when it was too late. If we don't change course before it's too late as Christians, it can be too late. Otherwise, this chapter wouldn't be in the Bible. If it wasn't a true danger, a true risk that we were running, then the Lord would not have asked John to put it in the Scriptures for all eternity. We need to repent. We need to stop when we realize the Lord is touching our heart about something in particular and repent. Now, I already alluded to the next point, number four, and that is the second part. And the second part is the risk. It's the risk. It says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You can look back, and I don't think if you traveled to Turkey today, and you traveled to any one of these cities, I don't believe you would find that's those same churches in existence today. Because there came a day when the Lord Jesus Christ removed the candlestick from each one of those churches because they didn't repent. Now, there may have been other circumstances, such as persecution and other things that may have gone into the closing down of some individual churches. But the point is this. The Lord Jesus Christ warned other churches in these chapters that He would remove the candlestick. That is a risk that every church faces if they do not repent and stay on the course that the Lord Jesus Christ has for them. Be diligent that ye may be found in Him, of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3:14. You know how, if you have kids, you know how a mother says, if I have to come down there, you know, if I have to come down there, hey, I'm not trying to be trite with the words here. But that's basically what the Lord is saying. Now, we have the blessing of His presence promised to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. But if He has to come down here for judgment, boy, I don't want to be anywhere close. And we have all witnessed churches that have been judged for varieties of reasons. We don't want to be one of them. We want this church to remain faithful with the candlestick burning bright all the way until the Lord returns. Now, finally here in fifth, there is some recognition and reward. We're not going to spend a lot of time with that. But he does recognize the fact that thou hast, verse 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Listen, I'm not trying to beat anyone up, and neither is the Lord. The Lord knows who His faithful servants are. And by the way, God has good aim. Okay? The Lord knows who His faithful servants are. And He knows if you're faithfully depending upon the Holy Spirit of God to lead you in your Christian life and to help you minister through this His church, and He is going to bless you. He'll either spare you somehow or He'll remove you before the judgment comes down. And so there is a recognition. And of course, there is reward for faithful service. We won't go into the details, but every one of these letters finishes with a reward for those that have remained faithful and so on. That's applicable to the true, genuine Christian will receive the blessings of His faithfulness from the Lord when He returns. Now, it's never a pleasant thing to deal with sin. But the risk is too high to take and the reward is too precious to miss. It would be dangerous to have the name here that exceeds our real spiritual condition. The remedy is recognizing the problem and being personally revived by the Holy Spirit of God in our own personal Christian walk. A man came to the famous evangelist, Gypsy Smith. By the way, speaking of evangelists, I knew there's now not only a famous evangelist from Charlotte, Billy Graham. There is now Ingles now from Charlotte, right? Aren't you from the Charlotte area? Amen. Well, there was another famous English evangelist, Gypsy Smith, and someone asked him how he could experience revival. Smith asked him if he had a place where he prayed, and the man answered yes. So Gypsy Smith, the evangelist, said, "When you go into that room, take chalk and draw a circle on the floor where you are standing and ask God to revive everyone in that circle, and don't leave until He answers your prayer." The Lord Jesus Christ wants to revive us individually, and He wants to revive this church so that there could be a faithful candlestick shining for His glory until He returns. Question is, of course, are we interested in what others think of us or what Christ knows about us? Let's pray. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads in prayer. Pastor Stevens is going to come, and I'm going to leave the invitation to him, but I want to close in prayer while you're standing. Lord, I thank You for the many blessings that You have bestowed upon us. And I'm so thankful for Your Word. I'm thankful for the Redeemer, and I'm thankful for the revelation that You have for us. God, I pray that each one of us would have a reputation that would represent truly how we are walking with You, and that would be glorifying to You, Lord. Father, I pray for this church, and that it would remain faithful until You return. In Jesus' name.